I say praise the Lord. Just before we go into the word, I have a small announcement for us. The Afaris want to invite you to join them for a reception after this. It's going to be at the Carnitine Exhibition Center at 3 p.m. today. It's on Station Street off Albany Highway. So please, we want as many people as possible to join our brother and the family in thanking God who has been so good to them. So please, all road leads to Carnitine Exhibition Center 3. Praise God. A reason of your love that we are a people who have known your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, even those of us who have not personally known him, it by reason of your love that you have provided us this opportunity, a life-changing opportunity for us today. My Father, my God, we pray that your word will take root in our hearts today, and it will be a life-changing experience in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, we are fruitful people. I say we are fruitful people. We are fruitful people. We are fruitful people. We are fruitful people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word as it is released upon your people this morning. No one here will ever be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I'm going to be talking to us on a topic that we as a church have been sharing for some time now. We've been sharing a particular topic for some time. And it's so wonderful that you are one of those who will benefit from the word that you are going to hear. And the reason I believe that God laid this in my heart to share is because not many people profit from the word of God. Or maybe I should put it this way, not everyone profit from the word of God. Amen. I'm sure many of us have seen people who call themselves Christians, and they've done some things, and you've wondered that indeed, is this a Christian? Because you know, you just know that what they are doing is exactly the opposite of what God asks us to do. When you look at such a person, you will know that they definitely have not profited from the word. In other words, they have not been producing fruits. You are going to profit in Jesus' name. In fact, you are going to be fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus. So for about 4 weeks, we've been talking about the good ground. The good ground, as in ground. Because you know that when the farmer goes to the farm to sow, oftentimes, not all the seeds germinate. Some of the seeds will germinate, some will not germinate. In fact, some will germinate, and when they germinate, they are stunted. Some will be tall. In fact, some will be tall for nothing and they will have no fruits. Some will just bring forth so much fruit. And it is the type of ground where you sow your seed that determines how fruitful the seed you have sown is. And the ground we are talking about this morning is your heart. Say to your neighbor, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Your heart determines how fruitful, how productive, how blessed you are going to be. So, if the word of God is not sown in a good heart, It becomes a waste. As for you, the word of God will not be a waste upon your life in Jesus' name. You are going to get results in Jesus' name. Let's quickly open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we are going to read from verse 18 to 23, the same passage we've been reading for some time. And I'm sure many of us know this Bible story very well. All of us have heard it at one time or the other. But God has a way to make his word new every time we hear it. And I believe he's going to bless us from this very word. I will read from verse 18 of Matthew 13. It said, "Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. You will produce in thousands in Jesus' name. I say you will produce in thousands in Jesus' name. The good ground. We've said so many things about the good ground. And last week in particular, we started looking at what are the constituents, what are the things that make up a good ground, a good ground. We said you cannot have a good ground without water. It's a ground where you want to sow seed. If there's no water, I happen to walk in the in the wheat belt area, and I'm telling you, when it doesn't rain, you will see the farmers panic. Some of the farmers we have to deal with have like 10,000 acres, some 20,000 acres. Just cropping, just seeding. When it is seeding time, some people invest over $1 million. So you can imagine what happens when rain does not fall when it is supposed to fall. There cannot be a good soil without water. Remember, we have said that your heart is the soil, the ground. And we said the water is the word of God. We need to constantly hear the word of God, because water represents life and freshness. We said people who go into the moon, people, you see, they've been sending probing instruments to Mars. And the only thing that man has been looking for in Mars is to find what? Water. Because once they find water there, they know it's a sign of life. And we say water represents freshness and life. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. In other words, the word of God, he said, let the word of God dwell richly in where? In your hearts. We said water washes. Otherwise, even when you put fertilizers, when it becomes too concentrated, it can kill the plant. It is water that comes and washes it away and dissolves it. We say the water washes and dissolves.
We said the word of God, when it comes to your life, it helps to wash. Not only is your sin washed away, it is the word of God that washes you and make you a child of God. And I will tell you how, because we are going to talk about part of it. The heart of somebody who hasn't got the word of God becomes strong. Is the heart of stone. Is the person who will never forgive anyone. If truly your heart is receptive to the word of God, you will forgive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We say the water dissolves and softens up name. We also said that a good ground will have nutrients. Nutrients. A good ground without the necessary nutrients cannot be a good ground. The only reason why it can survive, I mean, it can sustain life, plants, and whatever you put inside, because it has nutrients. And we said one of the nutrients that the heart of a child of God needs is knowledge of God. And we said there are two main types of knowledge. We said there is the common knowledge, upon which the law of most Western societies are based. Everyone knows that one. When you carry the Bible, you too can read. Everyone knows. Even if you are a Muslim, you can read the Bible and hear what it says, and you can choose to do it. Praise God. But we said that level of knowledge can only profit you to a certain extent, if it will profit you at all. That is why you see societies where laws are well kept, but yet you see there's ungodliness in the land. And we said the second type of knowledge is revelational knowledge. Revelational knowledge is for the children of God. It is revelational knowledge that prospers you, that makes you to read a particular verse in the Bible, and when someone else sees it, it means nothing to them. But when you read it, it tells you that your future is okay, and you believe God for it. Without a revelational knowledge, the people perish. You may have knowledge, but if you don't have a revelational knowledge, you will walk like elephant and you eat like a rat. We say it is with revelational knowledge that the secrets of the kingdom and the mysteries that are contained in the kingdom of God, that they are made known to the children of men. Because everything in the spiritual realm operates by way of revelation. And that is why there are many Christians today who cannot fulfill their destinies. Because we have chosen to limit ourselves to what the scientists are telling us, to what people are saying around us. We behave like everyone else. We have refused to move forward and have a better understanding of God and have God reveal himself to us and operate at that level. In fact, many of us will take advice from unbelievers, people who don't know God. We take advice from them when they don't have revelational knowledge. The advice they're going to give you is going to be limited to their own knowledge. And you will end up with the knowledge of man instead of God. God will inspire you today in Jesus' name. Today, I'm going to talk a bit more about the aspect of softening up. Remember, I told you that it is the word that softens up. But we are going to be talking about your role. Because it does not matter how good the ground is, the farmer has a role to play to make the ground what it should be. And what does the farmer do? The farmer cultivates it. He plows it. Am I right? Praise God. The farmer does not just leave the land the way it is. He comes and he plows. He makes it up so that the aeration will be better. And so when you sow seed there, it can bring forth fruit. And that is your role in preparing your heart to be receptive to the word of God. And it's going to be a life-changing experience for you today in Jesus' name. I happen to come from Nigeria, the Yoruba part of Nigeria, and there's something they say. I'm not intending to. I don't know how I can put it in English. They say, after your parents have given birth to you, you have to give birth to yourself again. Praise the Lord. Do you know what that means? What that means is this. You don't leave yourself the way you are, the way circumstance has created you. And I will tell you that many of us are already doing it. You see, when I go around and I speak to many of us Africans, you just have to listen to them speak. Even those of us who came here when we were 40, we no longer speak English the way we used to speak it back in Africa. You just hear, you know, we've changed our voices. Praise the Lord. How many of us have changed our voices here? Praise God. Especially when we have to speak to people from, you know, people who are not from our own part of the world. You just find out that you listen to some of us on phone, you just say, hello. And we never used to speak that way before. How did that come about? Because you consciously decided you are going to make a change. But when it comes to the things of God, why can't you change? Am I right? Many of us do it. When we speak to people, our voices just change. Sometimes I can't even place you. I say, is he from Nigeria? Is he from Ghana? Is he from Cameroon? Is he from... Because we just change our voice. We choose to do things differently. And this morning, what God is calling us to do, or calling us to do, is to, when we hear the word, to bring about that change in our hearts that will make the word profitable to us. What about our attitude to life and expectation? Many of us know that back home, electricity wasn't regular. So we have come to expect it. You see, it wasn't news. I mean, in Nigeria, most people will have what they call generator. So they already expected that there will be no light. But after some time here, what happens? If there's no light, you'll be complaining. Because you have come to live in a different kind of life. And that has changed your perspective. You are expecting that things will work. You can look at it in many ways that we change. God expects that level of change too. When you come to the knowledge of God, that you will not remain the same, that you are going to change. It's not about faking it. It's about believing God and proposing in your heart that there's going to be a change of attitude. Because the ground is, except you plow it. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 3. Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 3. It does not matter how good the ground is. You have to really, really plow it and make it a land where you can plant crops. And in the same way is the things of God, that our heart needs to be cultivated. I'm sure you've heard the English word. People say, well cultivated. He cultivated a habit. Have you heard that expression before? He has cultivated that habit. Now, I'm telling you to cultivate the habit of trusting God, of living like a Christian. Praise God. Some of us will say, I can only wear this kind of shoes. I can only eat this type of food. I can only do this. Because we cultivated habit. Let's cultivate the habit of doing the things of God. Jeremiah 4:3. It says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among what? Thorns. Break up your ground, the ground of your heart. He said, break it up. Because if you don't break it up, you may start sowing among thorns. And what is going to happen? You are not going to get good yield. In fact, the seed may not germinate. What you will notice from that passage is that you are the one who is responsible for breaking up the ground. He said to them, break up. It was a commandment. Break up that ground. They are the one to till the ground, to cultivate it. And in the process, you find out that something will happen as you till the ground. What's going to happen? You will remove the thorns. Because the aim is that you are not going to sow among thorns. What are thorns? What are thorns and thistles? Let's quickly look at what thorns are. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Now, do you know what thorns are? Thorns. You see, the Bible says thorns are the times of enjoyment, when things are going well for you, when you know you are comfortable. And I will ask myself, why would that be described as thorns? Why is it not when we are struggling, why we are suffering, when we have to pray hard to get the things we need? Why is God not describing those times as the times of thorns in our flesh? Because they are the times that we are not comfortable. But surprisingly, you will find out that those supposed hard times, they are the times when we used to seek the face of the Lord. The time we had nothing, we will seek the face of God. Is the time we used to attend night vigil because we wanted healing, we wanted promotion, we wanted to go overseas, we wanted many things. We'll be going to God hungrily. In fact, some of us will pray and we will cry. In fact, some sisters, some brothers, they fasted over many days so that God will give them a husband or give them a wife. Those times, instead of being thorns in our flesh, those were the times that draw us near to God. And of course, after God has answered the prayers, what do we do? In fact, some of us prayed and fasted for jobs. Jobs, and God will give it to us. And after he has given it to us, 6 months, we won't even pray. Not to talk of going to church. And when people ask you, you say, is that my job? Just like Adam said, that woman that you gave me, is that my job? That is stopping me from knowing you. Remember what we said this morning. Thank God, many of us located our hearts. We now know where our hearts are. Praise God. Remember what we said this morning, that everything will pass away. It is the treasure that you sow up there that you are going to meet. There are other thorns that the Bible talks about that I want to quickly show us. I'll just show us one more. I want us to open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show us something. I've shared this before. There are other thorns that we need to be aware of that can choke. If we don't remove them, they can choke the things of God. He said, Hebrews 12:15 says, exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessings, in order that no root of resentment, no root, King James Version says no root of bitterness. So no root of resentment, that is rancor, bitterness or hatred, shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. This is another thorn that if it is in your life, it will prevent the word of God from taking root. If it is there, you hear the word of God. Even if they say, forgive your neighbor, not you. I was hearing the testimony of a lady who had been barren for many years. And when she had a message like this, she decided she was going to forgive the person who she knew had offended her. And after she settled, within that year, God gave her her child. It can be a limiting factor, because the Bible says it is a defiling thing. You know where it defiles? The root of bitterness defiles the heart. It makes the heart not a good ground at all. Your heart will be a good ground for the word of God in Jesus' name. In fact, I don't know why it's so easy for us to harbor resentment. Do you know a lot of times somebody, I've said this before, somebody does not need to offend you for you to harbor resentment for them. Just on the recommendation of your friend. He hasn't done anything to you. Just by word of mouth, recommendation. Say, that guy is a bad guy. And you just say that. But when it comes to the things of God, the pastor will say it 100 times. And it's so impossible for us to do it. But when friends recommend and say, hate this guy. We don't even question it. I was telling somebody a couple of days ago. They were talking about somebody, and I said, look, if you put all these people down and you ask them what specifically did this person do wrong to them, honestly, they will have nothing to say. It is just because a friend had recommended that he should be hated. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop delaying your blessings. God will release your blessings unto you from today in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to quickly look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 and just hear what God has to say there. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That is Jesus. He offered sacrifice. He had already paid the price for everything. Why must we use our own hand to cause a delay and not find an expression of the glory of God in our lives? God will rain his blessings upon your life from today in Jesus' name. Break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. And then, you see, when you break up the fallow ground, some things happen. I want us to quickly read Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15 as I close. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. I'm just talking about one aspect this morning. Colossians 3, 10 to 15. I mean 12 to 15. I will read something. He said, clothe yourselves therefore as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy. Praise God. Uncultivated hearts cannot have tenderness. It is after the ground has been broken that is tender. Tender-heartedness, pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves. How many of us had that? A lowly what? Opinion of yourselves. Because your brother is doing something, you say, look, what's he doing? I can do better than that. Does he think he's the only one here? The Bible says, no. It should be the opposite. Thank God for his life. What an expression of the glory of God. Praise God. They must have put something into it. It must have cost them an effort to do this. Thank God for their lives. Not that, what's he saying? He can't even speak proper English. I can speak better than that. I know somebody who does better than what you are doing even. He said, have a lowly opinion of yourselves. Gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Some Christians don't have good temper. don't cross their path. They will bite your head off. It has become second nature. It's not because of, it's not them. It's just that they can't do it. They just, immediately it just happens. But from today, because the heart is cultivated, there will be a change in your lives in Jesus' name. I said there will be a change in your life in Jesus' name. He said, be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all this, put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your heart. In other words, when you are losing your peace, just know that it's not right. Let it be an umpire in your heart, deciding instantly with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, that is appreciative, giving praise to God always. That is a good ground. My prayer for you is that your heart has become a good ground from today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the word of God has entered into your heart this morning, and you have decided to make a change, all that you are expecting God to do in your life, He is going to answer you today in Jesus' name. Isaiah 8:18, it says, as for me and my house and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel. You are for signs and for wonders in Australia in Jesus' name. Because your heart is cultivated. The same way you are able to make change to the things of the world, the word of God is changing you. I said the word of God is changing your life from today in Jesus' name, so that you can break through and break forth to do excellently well in the things of God. And therefore you will see your prosperity come forth before you in Jesus' name. Because when you prosper in the things of the Spirit, you begin to prosper even in physical things. God is preparing the people who will inherit the kingdom and inherit the earth. Praise the Lord. Who are the people who inherit the earth? The meek. The meek will inherit the earth. Cultivated hearts. Cultivated hearts will inherit the earth. So that the blessings of the heathen will flow in your direction. But when you are like the heathen and you are puffed up, the blessings cannot flow to your direction. But when you come like the Lamb of God that passed through this earth, and people see in you the glory of God, they will not know when they will be submitting to you the things that rightly belongs to them. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up on our feet and just as we close? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want you to thank God for the word you have heard today. Just thank God. Just thank God. I believe that hearts have been melted. I believe that hearts have been broken and remolded. I believe that hearts have been touched today. I believe that the word of God has done surgery in the hearts of men today. I believe that the word of God has really recreated our hearts today. And when we leave this place, we'll be people who have met with Jesus. We'll be people who know that we have met with Jesus. And as a result, our life cannot be the same again. We are not moved by the things we hear or see or people do, but we are moved by the word of God. And that word of eternal value is changing our lives from today in Jesus' name. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank Him. Just thank the Lord and say, Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent my way. The word will not stand against me on the day of judgment, but that I've heard you and I've become obedient to your word will be a testimony for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the word you have spoken into our hearts, O Lord. We receive the benefit. We are productive. We are fruitful. We bring forth in hundredfold, we bring forth in thousandfold, we bring forth in millionfold. And it's going to affect every areas of our lives. And it's going to be unto our children's children, because it's the blessings of the Lord. And you go even, you remember even unto a thousand generation. So shall it be concerning us in Jesus' name. Father, we bless you. We give you praise and we give you glory.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are in the house this morning. You have never given your life to Christ. You know you've given your life to Christ before. You have fallen away from Him. Please, all eyes closed, head bowed. Quickly, you are in the house. Can you just lift up your hands? It's about eternity. Look, forget about anyone who may be looking at you. Please, just close your eyes, bow your head. You have not given your life to Christ before. You've given before, but you've fallen away. Right now, remember what matters is where your treasures are laid. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God this morning? Quickly. To give your... Quickly. The time has come. Quickly, if you are in the house. Quickly, right now. Because it does not matter what you possess. It does not matter how good you may be. It does not matter. If you have not given your life to Christ, it's all a waste of time. Please, if you are in the house, still lift up your hand to the Almighty God. You have never given your life to Christ. Thank you. Thank God for this brother. Who else in the house before we pray for him? You are in the house. Please, quickly lift up your hand right now. All eyes closed. Head bowed. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful son of yours that you have invited home. Lord, you are the one who can do the surgery in his heart. And so it will be done in Jesus' name. I want you to say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you have introduced yourself to me. And I thank you because you are the way and the life. You have already paid the price for me. From today, I take hold of that which you have done for me. And I declare that I've forsaken my ways and I repent of my sins and I have taken on your own yoke, which is the way of salvation. From today, I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will sustain me all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord and congratulations, for you are born again in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for all your children who have come today. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus upon every one of them, everyone here today in Jesus' name. And I say of you, because you have come, you have heard the word of God, you will live to declare his counsel in Jesus' name. The presence of God will go with you wherever you go this week in Jesus' name. He will cause his face to shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. From today, you have become fruitful. All and fruitfulness will be your testimony. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can we